Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, listening audience. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight and being a part of a national dialogue designed for proactive change. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I'm grateful again to engage each and every one of you in very important conversation. I need your help as I endeavor to take this message and the conversation we share on air to targeted cities and urban areas across America with the hope and desire to improve the quality of lives by engaging communities and proactive strategies. You can be of great help by going to our webpage, www.bfcinstitute.com. Click on the donation tab or the contact us tab and find ways that you can assist us by either purchasing our items or just making a donation on our secure PayPal site. If you are a business or someone who would like to make a corporate level contribution and you would like more information, please give me a call at 615-498-4669 or send me an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. That's bfcinstitute@gmail.com, or give us a call at 615-498-4669. We are glad to share with you and provide you all the necessary information to help you make the decision to support us in our traveling lecture series.
Well, greetings and welcome to another episode of Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. As always, I'm grateful for each of you who will join us this evening, either via Facebook live stream, the BFC Institute group, and or those who will join us directly from the Blog Talk Radio platform. That's blogtalkradio.com/BFC Institute. We're always grateful. Hopefully our co-host, Pastor Ricky Wallach, can join us tonight. Our regular callers out of Jacksonville, Florida, we hope they can join us. From Peoria, Illinois, Chicago, Illinois, from Nashville, Tennessee, the St. Louis, Missouri, Alabama, Murfreesboro, Tennessee, wherever you are around the globe, Canada, wherever you are, New York, wherever you are, you know, when you start naming names, you forget people and you don't want to be rude. You understand? But wherever you're listening, give us a call here, 657-383-0944. That is the number you can call and participate with us, 657-383-0944. That is the studio number, and you can talk to us here. We'll be happy to entertain your questions and or comments there on Talk Straight. It's open mic night, and yet again, what we're doing is allowing you. There's a lot going on in our nation, and I suspect if you're like me, you see it, and you have a position about it. We hope to provide a wholesome environment for productive dialogue and the sharing of ideas. We may not all agree, but at least we can agree to disagree, but more importantly, allow us to share what's on our minds here. All right, right here on Talk Straight. So it's open mic. I don't have a specific topic, so it won't come with a driven monologue. However, we will try to make sure we manage all conversations here. I saw a very, very interesting thread of conversation on the local Facebook group here in Nashville, in the Antioch, Tennessee area. The gentleman that led off pointed out the fact that for years, he's been 20-some years, I believe, he stated that he's been on the front lines trying to help young people. And he made reference to the fact that there's a breakdown with the government, with the school system and from the state level and funding and things of that nature. But he had some interesting replies from his neighbors. Many of them, what we've been saying here, and that is, it begins at home. And the government should not and could not raise your children for you. If you have them, it is your duty, your responsibility to develop their character, to feed them, nourish them, and shape them into productive citizens of society. Now we realize that that doesn't always happen for a lot of different reasons. And the attempt here, or the aim here, is not to vilify or point a finger at, diminish those people who are biological parents and for whatever reason fall short. Informational, it's instructional, it's educational, okay? For sure, I would argue, if I had an opportunity to share with them and I posted out to them and I invited them to join us tonight, I don't know if they will or not, but if they do, we'll be happy to entertain them. 657-383-0944. That's the number anybody can call. I would argue that the real issue here is that the opportunity for parent and teacher engagement. The parent is the first teacher of the child. And when we move out into a larger social context and they go to either private or public school, the teacher in the classroom is secondary. And ideally what they do is build on what has been instilled and poured into those children at home first, whether that's adequate or inadequate. But I would argue that the problem is that that relationship between the natural teacher and the secondary teacher and other influences has been molested by politicization, largely in the educational process. As an educator myself, I would share with you that there's a tremendous amount of evidence to show how various influences and philosophies and theories have pulled apart that relationship, particularly so in the public school sector. The thing we were following, and again, we invited those people that were engaged in that conversation to join us here tonight. You're welcome to do so. 657-383-0944. The floor is open to you. Come on, get in where you fit in. This is your host, Reverend Dockery, and you're listening to Talk Straight, And I want you to come on in here and share with me what's on your mind. I'll do my level best to offer some intelligent commentary and response. If I don't know the answer, I'm going to tell you, hey, I don't know that. Give me a minute. I'll try to seek out the answer, okay? But we'll be happy to hear your thoughts there from all of our callers there. And if you like to call in, what we'll do is identify you. If you're a new caller, we will identify you. When I say we, I'm talking about me, myself, and I. I will identify you by your last four digits of your phone number, your area code, and the last four digits of your phone number. And that way you can, if you would like, you feel free to share your name, location. The most we will make reference to is what city it appears by your zip code, I mean your area code that you're calling from, and your last four digits. You'll know that, and you'll know we're speaking to you. And in that case, when we have a number of people online, we can appropriately identify who has the floor. Sometimes our discussion in the last 5 years here have gotten a bit heated, testy. I think that that's good. Now, we don't want to be disrespectful. Never want to do that. But and we want to try to keep it clean. We don't want to try. We want to, I ask you respectfully, to keep it clean. We want everyone to have an opportunity to have their thoughts heard and shared here. And so we'll go from there. All right, 657-383-0944. While I wait, what I'll do is I will, I got a friend I want to call in here. And what I'll do is we'll go to a little commercial break, and then we'll give him a call, bring him in. But you can call us, into the studio, 657-383-0944. All right, we'll be right back.
Two things are true about students in urban American public schools. There are some students who do well and go on in life to become productive citizens, while there is a secondary population of students who go on to live lives that aren't so socially acceptable. While this secondary population of students, some 18% in Nashville-Davidson County, exhibit a number of behavioral issues and face extradition, it's no wonder why those students struggle to succeed academically. If they can't follow the simple rules of order, how are they expected to be focused enough to learn? I'm Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery, and I have recognized the needs of this population continually being unmet, despite the best efforts of many dedicated educators over the years. As a result, my experience as a former special education teacher, youth counselor, and candidate for local and state offices, I've developed a school model to help address this troubled population. Dockery Christian Academy is a private, non-denominational Christian school whose primary focus is engaging parents as partners with educators and teachers in order to develop pro-social character for student learners. I'd love to share more information with you about this innovative education model. So please connect with me at www.dockeryacademy.org. That's D-O-C-K-E-R-Y academy.org. Connect with us on Facebook at Dockery Christian Academy, or use the hashtag at 2020DCA. Thank you. I look forward to engaging you. Together we can make a difference for all of our children.
You're much more than the struggles that you go through. You're not defined by your pain, so let it go. You're not a victim.
Yeah, that's what Mary J. Blige said. You're not a victim. Yeah, you can, with each of your tears, you can become stronger. There's a lesson. Anytime you go through an experience, you ought to be able to learn something from it. In fact, they say if it don't kill you, it'll make you stronger. Have we got a witness? All right. All right. You listen to Talk Straight. And again, it's open mic night. It's open mic night. What does that mean, Dockery? What does that mean? It simply means the floor is open to you to bring up things, topics of discussions or issues that are on your heart, right, on your mind. And we'll be happy to address those things as best we can. 657-383-0944. That's the number to call. And we tried to get my friend on here, Brother Josh, but I'm not sure what happened. We'll give him a ring again here before we leave here. We got about another hour and 12 minutes or so before we wrap up our episode for tonight. So I invite you again to give us a call here. Facebook, if you're following us on live stream, whoever you are, feel free to get us to join in here. The number is 657-383-0944. And again, we welcome you to share your questions, your comments. I often prepare myself to learn from these discussions, realizing that through dialogue and communication, we're able to pick up a lot of different things. In fact, as social beings, that is largely how we learn, from infancy, hearing sounds, feeling certain types of feelings, gathering certain smells, all of those things helps us shape who we are. We learn from other people, our conversations. You know, it's tangentially to the conversation about education. That's why it's vitally important to create a language-rich environment early on in your children's development, such that they become acclimated to looking at books and reading, as well as manipulatives that will spark and encourage logical processing, right? And puzzles. That's why these little blocks and things of that nature. Sometimes we take those things for granted, but they go a long way pairing your children with the prerequisite skills for math and reading. Perhaps you've heard it said that from 0 to 3 years old, ideally you learn how to read. And largely that's from your social development. And from 3 throughout the rest of your latency in life, you read to learn, pick up new information. I realize that unfortunately due to certain socioeconomic variables and certain social environments and experiences, that's not a common thought. That doesn't mean it can't be, though. And if we are respectable to people, we can perhaps model that for them and share with them the importance of that. I think one of the breakdowns is that people think others are judging them for their lack of information or orientation to certain things. And oftentimes, there are some people who do that. Don't get me wrong. I don't want to give the impression that I'm that naive. I don't realize that. However, there are those, as with myself, who genuinely want to share with people best practice in life that will lead to their success. And they can pass it on and lead to the success of their children. And that's really our position. That is our position. Again, it's open mic night. I'm keeping the conversation and dialogue going. Give us a call. If you're following us on Facebook, I'd love to hear your questions, your comments here tonight. If you have any other thoughts or ideas on the economy, gas prices, food, diet, health, any of those things. Give us a call. Religion, theology. I was listening to a radio advertisement, and they were advertising locally how this group was putting together some sort of conference, and it was to address specifically the black church and where it goes from here. Thought that was very interesting. But perhaps call you, 657-383-0944. Love to engage you on that. We're in a political season right now, yet again. It's not a presidential election, but around the country there are various gubernatorial elections and senatorial elections, U.S. Senate, U.S. House of Representatives, State Senate, State House House of Representatives seats. People should be aware. School boards. It's interesting. We began mentioning some of the conversation there. And one of the things the gentleman said earlier I was making reference to, it was a Facebook, in case you're just tuning in, it was a thread of conversation on Facebook that I happened to come across. And the gentleman said he had been in the trenches, essentially, for 20-some years trying to help young people, and he was lamenting the fact that the government has failed, the state government and school government. He was saying that they could and should do more. And some others commented that, hey, that's the parents' job, not the government's job to do that. But one of the things he made reference to is the fact that resources are bare, they're slim. And in the absence of them, young people don't have the opportunities to grow as they should. Well, I hear what he's saying. And if it were the case that those children were born by the teachers and people that are paid to represent the government, then, you know, I can see the argument that, hey, they should do that. But perhaps we should rethink that. We should consider how we can support, educate, empower those parents of those children to do better by them as parents and as the first teacher in their lives. See? And how can we foster strong parent-teacher relationship communications? Just a thought. I found that thread of conversation very interesting. And I, as I said, I posted out and invited individuals to join us here tonight and perhaps on next Tuesday night. But tonight is open mic. And this provides the opportunity for callers to share their thoughts. And I'd love to hear from you. 657-383-0944. That's the number to call. We got about another hour here before we wrap up. And I'd love to, again, get your feedback, see where you are on that. Let me try to give my friend a call here again. And what we're going to do is we're going to go to another break here. Let's do a little music, and then we'll come back. But it's open mic. I don't have a specific monologue, so we're leaving the floor open, and it's your time. Let's listen to a little message from a mother and a son, mother to a son. And this Placate off of Langston Hughes' poem there, okay? We'll be right back.
Well, son, I tell you, life for me ain't been no crystal stair. It's had tacks in it and splinters and boards torn up and places with no carpet on the floor bare. But all the time I've been a climbing on and reaching ladders and turning corners, sometimes going in the dark where there ain't been no light. So boy, don't you turn back. Don't you set on the steps, 'cause you find it's kinda hard. Don't you fall now, for I still going, honey. I still climbing, and life for me ain't been no crystal stair.
Identify with the substance there. Again, that's an excerpt from Langston Hughes' poem, Life Ain't Been No Crystal Stair, and said to be a poem, a message from a mother to her son. The son struggled, and the mother talked about her own struggle and in part shaped the son's struggle. And again, in the end, the conclusion is, life for me ain't been no crystal stair. But though you have trouble and you struggle, then don't give up. Hold your head up. Press on. As I said earlier, there's a lesson to be learned. We heard that from Mary J. Blige. And each one of your tears, you cry about it, you'll be able to draw some from it. All right. 657-383-0944. That's the number to call. We'll keep the phone lines open here best we can. This is your host, Reuben Dockery, with Talk Straight. You're listening to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reuben Dockery, 657-383-0944. That's the number to call. And y'all don't leave me here by myself. I got about another hour to keep the airs open and hear from you and let you talk to me. You know what I mean? Tell me what's going on. I want to know what's going on. We're glad to open it up with you. While I wait, I'll just share while we got the floor here. It's your time now. So you just, the quickest way to shut my big fat mouth is to call in here. That's the quickest way to shut my big fat mouth. But calling in, you will shut me up in a heartbeat, okay? Well, not literally, but certainly we'll yield the floor to you. But while I wait your call, 657-383-0944, I'll share this with you. I'm happy to announce, again, I mentioned this before, but to reiterate the fact that we have a product now, an insurance product, a life insurance product. Oh, wait a minute, I hear you saying, oh, boy, he come talking about people dying. Well, no. This is a life insurance that covers you while you're alive. And, in fact, it helps improve the quality of your life while you're alive, as well as be there in that moment where you need it for final arrangements, right? And leaving some to your loved ones behind. Specifically, this one empowers parents to develop a savings for their children that can be used for college. It could be used, they get married and want to pay for a wedding or purchase a home. It could be used to start a business, right? This is the opportunity. And this particular policy that we would write for you through the Dockery Agency, that's the name of my insurance agency, again, empowers you to do that. The good thing about it is you can write it in the child's name, and that provides a fairly inexpensive premium. But you can also, even though it's in the child's name, it could be used for you and other expenses as it grows cash value. And guess what the best part about it is? It's tax-free. If you have a 401k, basically if you want to do anything with it, first of all, there's a limit on how much you can go. And then if you want to do anything with it, you're going to be taxed on it. It's your money, right? All right. My friend is here now. My friend is here. Brother Josh Ford. What
do
you think, Brother Josh?
Oh, it's a blessed day to be in your kingdom.
Well, it's indeed great to have you tonight, and it's open mic, so I know you stay locked and loaded with good topics, man. What's on your mind tonight? What do you think about the world, man? Talk to me.
The world right now. It's going downhill right now. So if we want to be soldiers of the Lord, we got to be strong-willed, be comfortable in our skin, and be telling the gospel to other people so they know it. And if they know it, then they can lead somebody else to know it, and the trend keeps following. Right now, nobody wants to do that, and it's really sad because everybody wants to stay put in their little, oh, I got this, and I got this, and I got. But that is really sad, and I just don't understand why so many people want to do that.
Yeah. Well, I get what you're saying. Well, let me ask you this question. Suppose they don't want you to share it with them. Suppose there are people that don't want to hear what you got to say. How do you, I mean, yes, it'd be great to reach those who are receptive, you know, to your message and what you have, your good news, but there are a great many people who don't want to hear it. How do you treat that?
Well, there's always a type of way you can share the gospel, I say.
Interesting.
There is a type of way you can share the gospel even if they don't think you're sharing the gospel.
Talk to me about that, man. That's quite interesting, Josh. You're saying that it's more than, may I use this phrase, it's more than one way to skin a cat. That's what I'm hearing. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay, talk to me about that. Explain it to me like I'm 3 years old, Josh. Break it down to me like I'm 3 years old. There's more than one way to do that. Talk to me.
Like, if they don't want to hear it, you don't really have to, you are the greatest in the world. You need to do this and do that. No,
right.
You can be like, why are you doing all these things that can hurt you when God is doing these things? And then there's another way. You know, like, my birthday's coming up. Do you want to give me a present while you at it? Because if you give me a present, I might give you something too.
What?
There's another. Well, if I'm working here, and I have been having a troubling time. Can you help me with this? There's so many different things that you can do, but we don't want to do them. If you get what I'm saying.
I think I understand where you're coming from. Experience would have it, though, Josh, that like this gentleman that I made reference to earlier, I don't know if you heard that, but he was on Facebook and he had posted out in Kip Antioch, which is a group around here in Southeast Nashville. And he made reference to the fact that he's been for a long time, I'm paraphrasing what he said, he's been in the trenches here fighting for young people. And he was just saying that there's a lack of interest, right? And people need to pick up. Very similar to what you're saying. But there were others who had a different view, Josh, right? And they were saying that, look, it ain't just for the government to raise our children. That's the parents' job first. But to what you're saying, you were talking about believers in Christ. Everybody's not a believer in Christ. But should you not be civil with them because they're not a believer in Christ or they don't identify with Christ to the same degree or in the same manner which you do, does that excuse you from being civil with them in society? What do you say, John?
Oh, of course not. You are supposed to love unconditionally.
Wait. Because I hear Satan coming right now saying, I got Josh now. I got Josh in the corner. He said he's supposed to love
unconditionally. To love unconditionally.
My. Okay. Now, I have a hard time swallowing that pill, Josh. Love thy neighbor as thyself. But I live right next door to the devil. Help me, Holy Ghost. Well, I do that now. I want to go to heaven, Josh, but I'm going to have a hard time with that one, man. You got to come help me out. Let me evoke the listening audience. 657-3830. Now maybe there are some preachers out there, some evangelists, some religious folks, some church folks, you understand, but help us. But now you said love the neighbor as thyself, but I live next door to the devil. That's my neighbor. He won't do right. Huh? I'm going to love you. You're going to do right.
Oh, hey, you were supposed to love unconditionally because he loved first.
I agree. Now, here's the thing that challenged many people, Josh, that identify themselves or believe that they're believers in Christ and in the Lord and so forth and so on, is the things they profess as their faith often crashes and have a run-in with their social realities. What do I mean by social realities? When you go outside your house, you may pray every day. You may pray five times a day like Daniel did, right? But when you go outside your house, them folk out there cussing. They cutting, they stealing, they fighting. Huh? They lying, they cheating, and you got to deal with them to get to work or to go to the grocery store or wherever you're going. They're cutting you off in the carjacking folk and people are road rage. You understand what I'm saying? Now, So the question is, and I realize this is not an easy answer necessarily, but I beat you up enough by asking those. What seems to be supercilious questions. So I'm gonna stop. But feel free to jump right in there. No, I was gonna say that the best thing we can do is to be an example. It's like a dark room, right? Can you see it? Can you see it? There's nothing but pitch black darkness. Can you see it, Josh?
Mm-hmm.
Imagine that with me. What happens when the smallest bit of light appears in the pitch black? What happens, Josh?
If the smallest...
The smallest bit of light. Yeah.
If the smallest bit of light comes in, anything can happen. Anything can happen. Can happen there.
Does that light illuminate at least to the extent it can the darkness? Yes?
Say that again, please.
Maybe. That light, that small bit of light. Go ahead.
Say that again, please.
I was saying it again. That small bit of light in a pitch black room illuminates itself. Doesn't it illuminate to the extent that it can the darkness and runs a portion, at least, if not all of it, of the darkness off? Watch this, Josh. Watch this. As long as it stands still where it is, anyone in search of light can find it. Have I got a witness? Oftentimes, we become overwhelmed by the things we see and the experiences we have engaging with folks. But what we have to realize, what would be helpful to realize, I would submit to you, is to understand you're just one person, but if you stand still where you are and be that light. I read somewhere, somebody said, ye are the light of the world. My goodness. Huh? A city that is on the hill. Ain't nobody praying with me tonight, Josh. I wish I had.
Oh my goodness.
I think you take my point, right? You take my point, don't you, Josh?
Okay.
We're just leaving the phone lines open, Josh, because it's open mic. And, you know, people can call 657-383-0944. You know that, right? You know, if they wanted to, if they had something on their mind, they can call it. You know, we would stand down and we would listen to them. And you and I will engage them if they allow them. You know that, don't you, Josh? Have you ever witnessed that happen or heard a thing that happened? Anything like that, Josh? Guess who we got on the line here, Josh? Guess who just jumped in with us? Your main man, 100 grand. Pastor Ricky Wallace, co-host. Welcome, sir.
Hey, now what's happening, Pastor Docker?
I got Brother Josh on. He's been laying it down thick, man. He's been laying it down thick.
I think that. I believe that. I received that.
Yes,
I know he will.
Yes,
and I know he can.
It's open mic. It's open mic, Pastor, so the conversation can go here or there. But Josh has been guiding us in a discussion largely about believers being the example in the midst of darkness. Josh, I don't want to steal your words. I'm paraphrasing you a little bit, okay? So please excuse me if it seems like I'm plagiarizing what you're saying there or butchering it in some way. But Josh, why don't you tell them a little bit about what you were saying there in terms of the world being where it is, but people not being willing to be a witness and a light to it. Talk to us about this, Josh. Tell Pastor Wallace what we're talking, and then maybe we get him into it.
This is becoming a dark place, and nobody that is a believer wants to come out and tell the gospel to a non-believer. And it's so sad nowadays that a non-believer doesn't want to tell a believer doesn't want to tell a non-believer about Christ. And things have gotten so bad that we just stick to ourselves and we think we're going to heaven by our things. But it says that we are supposed to talk to others about Christ as well. But if we don't, that's on you. That's on me. That's on whoever. And it's not right that now we all are so doing a thing that is so displeasing to God Almighty, the one that has saved us, the one that has granted a gift to every single one of us, and we don't use it to the glorifying name of God.
Well, why don't we, do you mind if we let Pastor Waller respond to that? See where he is with that? All right. Pastor, what about that, Pastor?
I just want to say I thank you, Josh, for sharing that because that's right on point. I mean, there's nothing really you can say behind that other than to get with it. Because if you are a non-believer and you don't know, non-believers are supposed to continue to do what they've always done. And while the believers, so-called, don't think that they're worthy to tell the non-believer the truth about the gospel, because the gospel is the good news. And if you hold back and withhold something that's good, that's saying several things. It could be that you don't care or you're selfish. I know there could be some things that would cause you to think you're better than, and the non-believer don't deserve it. So, yes, he's right on target, man. I just appreciate knowing that it's a shame that he said, and that's what he said. You know, in other words, it's basically a sin and a shame, you know, for that to take place. And I just appreciate it in such a way that I'm being reminded again not to deviate from telling the people the good news in spite of what one may say. And a lot of people will, you know, even try to get you to think that the good news don't even exist, like as if it's not something that's valuable. Like, let's just go with my opinion and what I think it ought to be. So, Josh, again, man, I just appreciate how you brought forth some good information to go along with what's needed. And that is to remind the non-believers that somebody cares. So that's where I'm at with that, man. I appreciate it again. I yield back to you on that note.
All right, all right. So Josh, here's an illustration of situation. You know, this parent was trying to get this little baby to eat healthy food, and the baby likes sweets more. So what they did was decided to take a little bit of the sweet that they like and mix it with the good food, with the peas and the corn. You understand? And what the baby didn't understand is what the parent was doing to both try to cater to his sweet tooth, but at the same time, and more importantly, nourish him. Are you with me?
Mm-hmm.
And by the time the baby got to eating, all they saw was a spoon, and in their mind they had the sweet, because they can taste a little sweet, but they didn't consider the nourishment that they were getting. Is that perhaps an approach we should take as believers, Josh? It's our tact.
Yeah.
It's our tact.
Mm-hmm.
That's how we come.
Oh.
What about that, Josh?
I agree totally, because sooner or later, this world will fall short, and the sinners will get what they deserve, and the believers will get what they do. So we need to every day, every second, do something of that magnitude. Just a little piece of something. If we can, just something. And if we can't if we have a friend that can and he's over, do it. Give it to him to give it to. And the circle will just keep going around and around and around and around. And
okay.
Yeah, but I agree.
I'm going to ask Pastor Waller that question I asked you earlier. Maybe he can help us out. Pastor, Josh was alluding to the fact that we should love our neighbor as yourself. And I asked him, I said, well, suppose my neighbor's deaf and he lives next to me. How am I going to pull that off? Is the devil. Can you hear me all right?
Yeah, suppose that the neighbor is a devil.
Is the devil that lives next to me. How am I going to do that, man? How am I going to pull that off?
You know what? The devil got one assignment, and the devil don't have to try to convince you that he's on your side.
Okay.
And if I don't know that that person is the devil, but you say if you find out that person is the devil, you just carry out what has been told to you by way of instruction. And, you know, the devil have a tendency to understand and believe also. They just tremble. So, you know, if the Bible said that the devil believe, but yet still tremble, that means they might just shake on up into turning around.
Okay.
You know,
or flee.
That's a possibility.
Or flee, huh?
That's a possibility.
Or flee, huh?
Yeah, either one. But if you either one of them, it's basically appropriate because you presented something to them, even with the devil being inside of them, possibly, because they don't look like the devil, I don't think. I just think that you find out that they're affiliated with the devil. So, you know, that's the key. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're joined by St. Louis here, 4600. It's open mic night, and callers or viewers.
You said
the... Give us a call here. Hold on 1 second. I'll be right with you, St. Louis. 657-383-0944. That's the number to call. Okay, St. Louis, we're right back. It's just open mic, sir. It's open mic.
I step off the line for a second, Pastor.
Okay.
You say love your neighbors as you love yourself.
Yeah, I was saying that I believe that, St. Louis. I believe in that. And but I was just talking to Brother Josh and Pastor Waller about the challenge that comes with that when I realized my neighbor is the devil.
How do you know that you ain't the devil?
Well,
did that apply to George Floyd? Huh? Who's taking drugs and high? Is that the way he show he loves himself? That should apply to Deontay Wright, who was shot by the police, thought she was reaching for her taser, but he shot his friend in the head, left him paralyzed from the waist down.
Okay.
That's some form of showing I love you.
Okay. Let me understand your question. Now, when you brought up George Floyd and Deontay Wright, these are individuals who were human beings and who had a very tragic end to their life. Dealing with, in the context of a law enforcement engagement. And you're saying that you're asking, were they the devil? Is that what you're asking?
Well, George Floyd was taking drugs.
There are a lot of people who
So he was loving himself, right?
Love
your neighbor as you love yourself.
Okay. I'm trying to understand your greater point here, St. Louis.
If what they was doing to themselves is called love, I don't want nothing of it.
I don't know that they said they were loving. I'm not sure anybody said that was love.
No, I'm saying that on the pretense of love your neighbor as you love yourself, I don't want no person who's my neighbor who's doing that to themselves to come showing me love. Because if they doing that to themselves, that there is some love I don't want to experience from them.
In the context of that statement, love thy neighbor as thyself, that was in reference to living a certain lifestyle that was wholesome, that was productive and pleasing in the sight of the creative universe of mankind. I'm not sure that's applicable in this case, but I agree with what you're saying, that if your neighbor is self-destructive, if your neighbor is harmful to themselves or to others, it's difficult to really entreat them the way you would entreat yourself. That's what I'm hearing you say. And forgive me for paraphrasing, but I'm trying to make sure I understand your point, where you're coming from.
Yeah. Well, that's my point.
Okay.
They can keep their love.
I got you.
And I use the...
Anything else?
Well, no.
I'm sorry.
Also, how's everything else going?
We're moving, sir. We're moving. It's open mic night, and I didn't bring the topic, but we left the floor open to anything you might want to discuss here tonight. We got Josh on, and Pastor Wally stepped away, but he said he'll come back as soon as he can.
Yeah, no, I'm back.
Okay. Hello, is there anything in particular you'd like to...
I got one more thing. I like the way the news handled it with kid gloves about these three black men that physically beat this white 17-year-old to death. They didn't mention their color, his color, anybody else's. Just goes to show you.
Give us a little context. What city was this in? When did this happen?
It was in Akron, Ohio.
Akron,
and it was on the playground.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
And
was that where it was on the school where LeBron James, a school of LeBron James, wasn't it? In Ohio?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Okay. I think they should change the name of the school since they killed a kid there.
Yes, Pastor Wally.
Speaking of school, Pastor Doctor, I was over to a church yesterday, and
checking on the phones. You know, a lot of them kids, they know about these phones, right? And and her mother was telling her about school that she went to, and she was so proud of her daughter, you know, because she was going to a particular school, and she used to talk about this other school that she was going to go to, but her mother wanted her to go to that school. You know, when she found out about those kids at that school, they was very smart, but she said they didn't have common sense. You know, okay. You know, where God talk about, you know what I'm saying, if you want favor from God and man, you never trust yourself. He said, especially if you want common sense. Because if you listen to some of the things that's been said, you know, about loving your neighbor, I think that's what we was talking about, you know, and you were talking about the word of God said that. He didn't say who was going to be good or bad or right or wrong, up or down. He just said, love your neighbor as yourself. In other words, if you don't love yourself, you're not going to love your neighbor. Don't make no difference what you say. You're not going to love your neighbor no way because you don't love yourself from the start. Now, check this out. Especially when you point and put in particular a black man. Notice that I'm just listening to what we're saying. Now, check this out. Now, if you come in one sense and use a black man, and in the other sense you don't use it, that's saying you ain't got no love for yourself. The message is in what you say. In other words, your actions speak so loud that all you got to do is listen. And then, see, that's how I got caught in the trap. I was a good listener. And I wasn't smart at all. I wasn't very smart at all. That's how I got caught into the trap. But then I got an understanding of what it was like to take a chance. I said, man, I used to hear about God being so good, he can do this and that. So I tried it. And guess what, man? I found out that he can change changeable things, man. He even changed foolish people, man. He said he would take the foolish, and that's what the word said now. I didn't say this.
Okay.
He'll take the foolish now and confound the wise.
I see.
Because he let you know that the wise be thinking that they're wise. He said, well, I'll take a fool and give fool instruction because the wise think they know everything. So this is the good news about what you're saying. Again, once you realize the thing Joshua brought to the table earlier and stand on it, because here comes, how do you know when the devil show up? Do he have on a certain outfit or do they say a certain thing? How would you know it's the devil? You understand? The word of God did say, and you said it earlier, Pastor Doctor, about that if he don't turn around, he'll flee. Is that what you're saying? I'm just trying to make sure that I get that. When you're talking about, if the enemy, which is the devil, is the next door, and if a person, you ask me, you know, what was the person's responsibility that had a love for God, is to love your neighbor as yourself, because either they'll turn around or they'll flee from you. That's what you said. Now, I want to make sure that I'm on the right track. Because if you deviate from it and don't show love, that means it's a possibility that you don't love yourself. I mean, that's me I'm talking about now. So I had to take that and say, okay, I don't know God, but I'm going to give him a chance to prove to me that he's a good God. So when I did, the devil no longer controlled my life because I know the devil's voice. You see, I understand his voice. The devil cannot stand God, man. He hates God. And they're supposed to hate God. He's not supposed to pretend like it. That's what I love about the devil. He's not a pretender. He'll let you know. Just listen. And then you'll understand. And that's what I love about the word of God. He said he would, unless Satan took advantage over us, for we're not ignorant of his devices. Look at the devices that he uses, man. You understand? So I just want to make sure we don't forget what Joshua said earlier. And I think he was pretty excited about it. You know what I mean? He said the world and the unbelievers don't hear the believers, then the believers don't get with the unbelievers. So Joshua, stay doing what you're doing. Don't fall for the trick and the schemes and the tactics of the enemy, because they'll get you to fall for what they're saying. And then, I mean, you brought such an excitement. I was just so thrilled and appreciative of what you brought to the table, Brother Joshua, that I don't even want to fall for it, because it don't take but a moment to fall for the enemy's tactics. Because the devil, he is what he is, and he'll always be that, because I'm going to say this, and I got to turn it over. They said that the devil sinned from the start. He's been that way from the beginning, and that's the way he go about doing this thing. You see what I'm saying? And that's the reason why I said, man, stay on that, what Joshua was talking about, just for a moment, and listen to how powerful it was. Man, Joshua reiterated. You asked him to say, because I just came on. And if he said that from the start and came back and shared that with me, and then all of a sudden, now I got to find out, am I hearing the devil's voice, or am I hearing the voice of love, love your neighbor? The word does say this right here, Pastor Doctor. It says, we then who are strong, all to bear the infirmity of the weak, and not to please ourselves. That's what it says, not to please ourselves. But if I point my finger and put you down, I don't have no love for myself. So I'm going to keep on loving on one, you know what I mean, that need love. That's the unbeliever that Joshua was talking about. And just keep on, you know, sharing as a believer, because you're either a believer or you're an unbeliever. There's no in between. I yield back to you on that note.
Okay.
Say something?
Give me 1 second, Josh. Give me 1 second. Let me do a little plug here. Listen to Talk Straight. We got about 25 minutes before we close tonight. 657-333-0944. That's the number to call. And it's open mic. It's open mic, so we're just passing the floor around to various individuals. Joshua Horton out of Murfreesboro, Tennessee, is going to be sharing with us. Go ahead, Josh. You got the floor, sir.
And if you don't believe, then what do you believe?
Okay.
I will say it again. If you don't believe in God, what do you believe in?
Good question, Josh.
They say, oh, we believe in this. We believe in that. We believe in that. Some people say they don't believe in nada, zip.
Okay.
They believe that they go to the earth when they are dead.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So how did they get there in the first place?
Okay.
How did they get even get this body?
I see. I think I understand the nature of the question. Well, let me ask you this question, Josh. How prepared are you to accept their answer? What do they believe? And what is an acceptable answer, Josh?
What do you mean by that question?
I mean, you said if you don't believe in God, you don't believe in Christ, you ask, what do you believe in, right? Did I understand you correctly?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right. And so I'm asking you, how prepared are you to accept their response? And what, in your view, is an acceptable or unacceptable response to your question, what do you believe in?
It was really a rhetorical question. Because I know the answer, but I was saying, if you don't know, if you are a follower of nothing, who are you following?
Interesting.
That's what
May I share this story with you? I was working as a counselor in a dual diagnosis mental health facility. And what that means is these were people that had a cross between drug abuse, drug use, and psychological issues like depression, bipolar disorder, schizophrenia, right? This particular lady, alcohol was her deviance, right? And spiraled into, and she had major depression, what have you, and she was a patient there. my task was to talk with her and to take notes of her conversation. You with me, guys? And I was to share mm-hmm. that with the psychologist or the psychiatrist.
Mm-hmm.
Those notes would go to the psych, and then they would be able, when they talk to them and treat them, they would have the information about what's been on their mind day by day. Well, make a long story short, I never told her, Joshua, that I was a preacher, that I was a pastor mm-hmm. or anything like that. Perceived that about me. And so, Sunny was from Pennsylvania, interestingly enough, but she was here in Nashville. Her daughter was here, and she was visiting her daughter when she had her breakdown and went into the facility. So she said, when I came to sit down with her, I didn't come as a preacher or anything like that, but I sat down, I had my notebook, and we began to talk. She said, "I don't like you." I said, "Okay. Why is that?" She says, "Because you're one of those people." I said, "Well, what do you mean, one of those people?" She said, "One of those people that believe that I'm going to hell because I don't believe God like you." Clearly, she was trying to pull something out of me, right, Josh? So I asked her, I said, mm-hmm. "Well, very similar to what you asked, Josh." I said, "Well, why don't we talk about what you believe then and how that got you here?" Very interesting conversation, man. I won't go into all of it, but at the end, it was clear that she dropped her guard, right? And she had a rough experience, man, very rough experience that started in mm-hmm. Pennsylvania and from the time she was a young girl and so forth and so on. And it led her to that dialogue we had right there. What I'm trying to say is I allowed her, Joshua, the opportunity to give me her response without me even asking a question, you know, where you are. Now, she saw something in me. It was what she saw in me that opened up the dialogue. Are you with me? Y'all with me?
Mm-hmm.
Josh Wallace, Josh, y'all with me on that? And that's where I believe the rubber meets the road. A lot of times, St. Louis, feel free to jump in here, there are people who believe that if they have a certain position, they have a certain viewpoint that you ought to see it the same way I see it. And if you don't, there's something wrong with us being able to communicate.
Yeah, that's like them Democrats, how they treat conservatives and Republican blacks. They're evil. They are really, really evil. I ain't never went to church. Don't believe in no God. And surely don't believe in no Jesus, but I respect those that do. I think they got a right to. A belief is a lie until it's proven the truth. But people got a right. See, if people need something to cling on to. And it's natural. Humans, and also I guess you can say animals to a case. But the first teacher of human beings was nature, which includes animals, plants, birds. That's what they learned. And he had no other teacher. Who would have been the other teacher? Well, no black boys, chalks, and erasers. So they clung on. They learned from animals. And they need something to be afraid of. If it's nothing, they create something. Like don't go in the basement with the lights off, right? And when we turn the light on, they go down the basement. Ain't nothing down there.
That boogeyman down there, man. What you talking about?
Yeah.
Boogeyman down there.
So if people need something, if they weak to the point where they need something to make them strong, that's perfectly fine.
Interesting. Well, now, St. Louis, if I might, I'm going to evoke a certain passage of scripture that drives my thoughts, okay? I'm not saying you have to accept this, but just consider what I'm saying. Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith, belief, is the substance of things hoped for, and the evidence thing." I think I want to go back for a second on that word substance, because this is, I think it's related to what you're saying. It's apropos to our discussion. Every one of us have a story, whether we consider it good or bad, or somebody else perceives it as good or bad. That's our story, right? And our drive for belief of whatever it is we believe, our core belief, is driven from the substance, the words, or the
lines of that story. Now, until you hear a person's story, it's hard for you to really to say they're right or wrong about what they believe until you hear their story. What about that, St. Louis?
Well, I need to hear the story. Some people say that something happened. Uh-huh. I say, well, that ain't the reason why it happened. That's a scientific reason why it happened.
Interesting.
Some people say God is seeing that lightning clap. Mm-hmm. And they say that's God. I say, that's not God. That's the expansion of air.
I see.
Around
I see.
A discharge of electricity. It happens all the time. It happens when you comb your hair. You hear that little crackling when you comb your hair,
mm-hmm,
with a plastic comb? That's lightning,
yeah,
at a minuscule scale. Thunder at a minuscule scale.
Hey, okay. Pastor Doctor, did you get the question what Josh was asking?
Yes, I did. Hold one second, Pastor.
Okay.
So don't lose your thought, Pastor, and ask your question. So I told my wife one day, I said, Spirit told me to give you some sugar. She said, no, that wasn't no spirit. There ain't nobody but you. I said, wait a minute. Now, that was a spirit. It was a spirit. And it took me a while to get her to understand that was a spirit of love that told me to give her some sugar. Now, see, there you go. So there you go. But, Pastor, go ahead. What was you were going to reiterate Joshua's question?
Yeah, Joshua was asking a question. What do you believe? And not that he wasn't going to be able to accept and not receive or embrace, mm-hmm, or deny. He just asked a question. It's never been answered. That's what I'm,
right,
you know, that's the thing that I'm going on, because he asked that question purposely because he would like to know, you know. And Yeah, but see, look, check this out, though. The reason why I said this is because of what he said earlier, Joshua said earlier, about the believer and the unbeliever, because there are two ways about it. An unbeliever just don't believe. A believer does believe.
Okay.
Now,
right.
And if he asked a question, and, you know, if they ever just up and just say, well, this is the reason why I don't, I think Joshua is waiting for that, and I think he'll be all right with it. Because he asked the question. I don't think he was asking to put nobody down or anything. He just wanted to know, you know, because he was naming some things, you know, things like that. So it may be a lesson in it, you know. It may be a lesson in it that he probably would like to know, you know what I mean? So, because I don't think Josh would go put nothing out there like that if he didn't really want to know, you know. So
I wanted
to... it was a great conversation that he was talking about. And like, I know... that it happens, you know. There's unbelievers, you know. That's what's happening, and believers, that's what's happening. So there's no in between. It's one or the other. And
right.
I think that's why he asked the question. So I want to
ask you
that
question too, Reuben. What do you believe in? What are you talking?
You
what do you
me
believe
what
in?
What I believe in.
Yeah.
Well, I believe in.
I tell you what, the better the question is what you don't believe in. I want people to ask me what I don't believe in. Don't be asking me what I believe in, because it's too numerous to reveal. Ask me what I don't believe in. Anybody?
Give Joshua a chance to do that, Pastor.
Okay, Josh, would you like to know what St. Louis don't believe in? We're having a dialogue here for the next 15 minutes or so here on open mic night on Talk Straight. Josh, go ahead, St. Louis. Why don't you just respond? Go ahead, Josh.
Yeah, I got to respond to a question.
All right, Josh, go ahead.
Yeah, yes, I would know. I would like to know.
In what area?
No, he says,
you know,
what don't you believe? What don't you believe? That's the question.
In what area?
What do you not believe in?
In what area are you talking about? Can you narrow it down?
In the areas in how you do or don't believe in Satan and the crucifying and all of the above.
Oh, but, Satan. You mean what used to be called Isfet. Isfet. When Christians came along. Well, wait a minute, because you asked me what I believe.
Hold on one second. I
wasn't done. I was still.
I don't believe in those Satan because Satan. The character that people have assigned to Satan used to be Isfet. Long before there was any concept of any Jesus Christ or any God of the Bible, because there wasn't no Bible. So,
all right.
That was assigned to that particular character in that particular society. What else?
Josh, finish your question, and then we'll wrap up our. What is Josh?
I was saying I hadn't finished the question. I was saying how you don't believe in sex and don't believe in the crucifying or do believe in that, and how you can break it down the narratives of what you don't right this second don't believe in and how you do not believe in it.
Okay.
Well, I believe in crucifixion. Crucifixion of what? The Germans crucified people of a town they went into during Operation Barbarossa, where they raped the women and literally nailed them up to the side of a barn. I guess you could call that crucifixion. Yeah, that did happen for real. In ancient times, criminals were put on crosses and crucified, yes. As far as the Jesus, I don't believe in no Jesus Christ because there's no historical, there's never been a man in a race, creed, or color that walked the earth by that name as portrayed in the New Testament. So, but the people did get crucified, yes. That's what you want to call nail them up to a tree. And the Bible mentioned that he was hung from a tree.
Okay, so I think we got 11 minutes, all right? And I'm not sure that we're going to be able to have a theological expository discussion here that will thoroughly address those things. Josh, I hope you heard what he's saying. And what I take from what he's saying in principle is that many of the theological excerpts from the Bible and the characters in the Bible, he personally does not embrace or believe exist because he doesn't accept the Bible as an authentic reference source. And that's, guess what? He's entitled to that.
Yeah, and I'm a grandfather, Joyce, and I taught my kids and my grandchildren the same thing. They take on the same ideology as they pop out.
All right. Having said that, we got about 10 minutes here, and it's been open mic, so the conversation flew from different places. Thank you, Brother Josh, for opening us up with that discussion. St. Louis, I'm sure you know that Josh, Pastor Wall, and I both believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of the one we call Christ, the anointed one, who came to be a propitiator for all of our sins. And we believe that one of these days, we're going to be able to see he and his Father on the right hand. You see him on the right hand of the Father. And one of these days, when the trumpet is blown, we believe a trumpet is going to be blown. Let me not speak for them. I believe that. Take a few minutes, gentlemen, to say if you do or you don't, that you're waiting on him to call you and then let great getting up morning. Is that true, Josh? Pastor Wong, right quick.
Oh, yeah, of course. All right.
I was assuming that, and I don't want to assume because you know what they say about assumptions. But, okay, Josh, what about it, Pastor? Do you hold that same tenet of belief, sir?
I stand on the word, say that there is a way that seemeth right to man, but the ending of that
okay.
is ways of death and destruction. So, you know, I just humble myself daily, Pastor Doctor, and it's understandable that the word does say, choose you this day who you would serve. And it gives
right.
you right to do that. If a person
right.
choose to do what they want to do and invent their own way of thinking, I mean, that's understandable. You can't take that and make nobody believe in nothing. I definitely don't do that. If I was the worst of the worst. I ain't got to force nobody to believe into anything. But I'm just grateful
right.
myself personally to know that there's a show that come on Tuesday night, man, and it starts out
mm-hmm.
with the scripture that stands
yes.
on that. So that's the purpose of why I tap in and tune in. I don't tap in and tune in to convince nobody, you know, to follow this way of life. If that was the case, I'd have my whole community, the whole city, saying, look, you got to follow me and what I'm doing, or else you're wrong.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that, man. I mean, because some get there colder than others. See, it's something inside,
yeah.
brother, you know, that's yearning to come out. You know, and like I say, and it just took me a while to get there, so I definitely didn't believe in God because I didn't know him. So I didn't pretend.
Right.
And I had to come as
okay.
I was and to learn that when he accepted me, I got a chance to try it out a few things, and I'm just grateful for that.
Okay.
And I stand on it because I didn't know it at first, you know, and that's what changed my life. It definitely wasn't because I changed my life because I definitely didn't know how to do it. And I'm just humble enough to admit it. You know, I was a fool. And
okay.
that's what a fool would do.
Okay.
I did foolish things
right.
and discovered that change took place, and I'm grateful for it, man. So I yield back to you on that note.
Yes. I heard one songwriter say everybody plays a fool sometimes. But anyway,
yeah.
that's another story. That's another story.
Yeah.
What I do believe is that for the last 5.5 years, all of you gentlemen have made major contributions to what I consider to be substantive conversations, and that those that go back and listen to it, and some have called me and told me that they have, they've been able to pull things from it. It gave them great insight and made they drew conclusions. So I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for that. And we got about 6 minutes, so I believe if I give St. Louis an opportunity to give us a final thought and then go to Josh, then I can turn it over to Pastor Wallace and do what he's been doing well for the last 5.5 years here, and that's to take us home because he got the microphone. All right, Pastor Wallace, I'm sorry, St. Louis, what do you take
that? Well, I'm gonna take my time to go on home because I don't want to ride and take up nobody else's space on their train. But I'll see you later.
Thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Absolutely.
All right, Josh.
It was a blessing to chat with y'all another time. The word is truth, and if you don't get it, you're gonna get a fiery dart sooner or later.
All right.
Sounds
Thank
good.
You, Brother Josh. Thank you so much for joining us there. Before I turn over to Pastor Wallace, let me say this last thing. I'm looking to see a just God one day. And, gentlemen, Josh, I'm going to open you back up here for a second. I don't want to run, tuck, or have my tail and be afraid to look at them, Josh. I want to be able to stand up like a natural man and look them eyeball to eyeball and say, I done like you assigned me to do. Then I want to hear those warm and welcome words. Job well done, good and faithful servant. That's what I'm looking for, Josh. And I believe that one day that's coming. And that drives me every day, Josh, to get to that day where I can hear him say those words. Job well done, good and faithful sir. Now enter. I'm going to stop. I feel my help right there, Josh. But listen, let me get a flow to Pastor Wallace. Let me get a flow to Pastor Wallace. Pastor, go ahead, sir.
Go ahead.
Do your thing.
Go ahead, brother. I'm just listening, brother. Go ahead. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
You know, we still believe, man, and that's what Josh brought up tonight, is that a believer should always speak to the unbeliever and
mm-hmm.
not to withhold that real strong desire to not be selfish. And I think that's what I heard
mm-hmm.
earlier. And I appreciate that because, you know, sometimes I have a tendency to deal with a lot of unbelief, man, and a lot of unbelievers out in the world.
Yeah.
And if I just withhold as a believer, then I'm defeating the purpose. So I just wanted to make it known to Joshua for bringing that up tonight. It has enlightened me to make sure that I always continue to remember and not to forget that I should please my neighbor and not myself. Because if I please my neighbor, amen, and I love my neighbor, then I'm pleasing and I'm loving myself. So that's two things I would love to do with myself, please myself and love myself. But if I'm not doing it with my neighbor, then I can't do it with me and get the bonus that I'm due. Glory to God. Amen. Because God is a rewarder. The Bible says that our faith is impossible to please
impossible.
God.
I read
that coming to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And I just want to be a part of one who says them that diligently seek him. So again, man, I just want to say thank God for the message tonight, for the service tonight, for everybody that tuned in, because there is a reward. It's just who's going to give it to you is what counts.
Right, 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 right.
Amen.
Okay, wow. Man, that'll take us to next week for another episode of Talk Straight. This fellow Kirk Franklin and the late Rance Allen said that there's something about the name Jesus. It's the sweetest name I know.
What a name.
What they say. Listen to them. We'll see y'all next Tuesday. Another episode of Talk Straight.
Amen.
Oh, how. Just for a few minutes, talk about it. My Lord.
Something about the sweetest thing. Wave at me if you love me.